Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Well, I hope y'all help me here for a while. Verse number 1. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou art driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. The presence of God turned the rock into water. And the presence of the God of Jacob turned the flint into a fountain of waters. I got a few more scriptures here I want to read to you. Psalms 95 and verse number 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Proverbs 28 and 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Romans 2 and 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Because of the hardness, you treasure up unto yourself wrath. Hebrews 3 and 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want to preach tonight on you don't have to be hard. You don't have to be hard. And I want you to notice my text here. The Bible said, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. I want to say something here tonight before I go any further. Hardness of heart is so very difficult to deal with. That's the truth. And it seems like that we're living in a time when there is very little brokenness, very little humbleness. First of all, I want to address the hardness that are in the hearts of sinners. You ever noticed how it seems like it is just a total flop to try to get sinners into the house of God sometimes? You call them and they make promises. You visit them and seems like it's to no avail. You drive miles and try to comb the community before revival, and doors slam in your face. Seems like that people are just so hard. Sinners are very hard. They're hard against the church. There's been so much sin in the ministry. There has been so many scandals and schemes of iniquity that have surfaced in the church. People have gotten hard against the church. They've gotten hard against God. They've gotten hard against the preacher. It seems like that we're just living in a time when people's hearts are very, very hard. And we're having to deal with that to try to get the lost saved. It's one of the greatest obstacles I feel like, because, you know, part of it we know is because of sin. I mean, people are living such wicked lives. Their conscience is so debauched in their heart, and their mind is continually set on evil, and their thoughts are full of iniquity, and there's so much entertainment. There's so much access to sin. It's so easy. It comes so frequent, and there's so many opportunities to do wrong. And seems like people are just getting hard. And I want to tell you something tonight. The only thing that's going to cause sinners to break is the presence of the Lord and the power of God like we have never felt it in our lives. And I feel like that if we are really going to pull the net in and see people saved, it's got to be priority that in the church we have the presence of God moving among us. I feel like that if those sinners that we have dealt with, if we're going to see them darken the church house door, come down an aisle and fall on an altar and be broken, it's going to take the Spirit and the power of God. Amen! I want you to understand tonight, church, amen, that we're dealing with people that have been hardened and their hearts seem like are fallow. Amen, seems like that they are in a place where they are untouchables. You ever dealt with anybody like that? Could not show them their sin. Could not show them their wrong. Could not show them that they were on the edge of eternity. Amen. Could not make them comprehend their need of a Savior. It seemed like no matter how much you preached, how much you prayed, how much you invited, how many revivals you had, it seemed like they were just so hard. Okay, God, I need the Lord to help me here tonight. Could I have a little volume here? Amen. I want you to understand, I was reading a book, a story not too long ago about one of Charles Finney's revivals. And even in those days, evangelists dealt with hard hearts. And I was reading in one of those stories and in one of those stories, it mentioned how that while he was preaching a revival, there would be a young girl that would stand up, a teenage girl, stand up and move out into the center aisle and begin to mock him while he preached. She would say words. Now, to me, when I read that, I thought that was rather strange. Especially to be in that time frame, and especially for it to be a woman. But she stood up. And she mocked him, and she scoffed at his preaching, and she made fun of him. And it seemed like no matter what he preached, how much that he prayed, that it seemed like he could not touch that young girl's heart. While there were others that were coming and giving their heart to God, while there were others that were getting saved. It seemed like that Charles Finney could not touch this young girl. And so the story said that he made her a matter of prayer. And he began to take time, amen, and pray for her as an individual. And he said one night while he was preaching, as she started the same routine, stood up right in the center aisle and began to mock and scoff and make fun and make gestures and interrupt the man of God. Charles Finney said while he was preaching, he turned to that girl, and I don't remember the words that he said, but he pointed his finger in her direction. He said that the Holy Ghost fell in that place, and the power of God saturated her until she fell upon the ground. She began to wallow in the dirt and paw at her own heart and scream out, "My God, I'm dying and I'm going to hell." Amen. I want you to understand, amen, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is what it's going to take if we're going to see hard hearts, amen, be broken, if we're going to see those sinners, amen, that are lies are so debauched by sin. If we're going to see anybody saved, hey brother, it's going to take the power and Spirit of the Lord. If we have an end time revival, it's going to take more than a 3-point message and a song or two and a nice building. But we got to have the power that'll make them tremble, and the Spirit that'll break their heart. I read of David Brainerd, and you've read his diaries and his writings. David Brainerd was the man that prayed. He was the man that would get up and write things in his diary. Something like this: "I arose at 4 a.m. this morning, and I prayed 4 hours. Oh, what a wretch am I. Come on now. Where does that leave me?" Amen. But he said that while he was trying to reach some hardened, savage Indians, you know the story, he died before he was 30, died of tuberculosis, given all of his life to trying to win some of these Indians to God. And he said he was in one certain place. He was preaching, he was praying, he was doing everything within his power, but he seemed like he could not get them to comprehend the gospel. He could not get them to understand the message of deliverance, the message of salvation. Amen. He did not know their dialect. He did not know their language. But he said he made it a matter of prayer. No matter how he prayed and preached, their hearts were hard. They were not touched. But he said one night while he was preaching, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to, but the story said while he was preaching that there was a drunk that stumbled in on him. Stumbled right there in the middle of the woods. And while David Brainerd preached, that drunk began to interpret his preaching. Amen. And he interpreted the words that preacher was saying. Amen. And he said all of a sudden, amen, there was a liberty, amen, that fell in that house. And there was a power until some of the savages that had never heard the name of Christ, amen, never knelt at an altar, they began to fall prostrate upon the ground and begin to ask God, amen, to save them. I want you to understand, friend, if we're going to see our loved ones escape, it's going to take a move of God that is so mighty and so powerful. If we're going to see the hardened sinner, amen, be saved, it's going to take a move of God. And my text in the Bible said that it was the presence of God that turned the rock into water. I'm going to tell you one thing. It is a very shame. It is a stink to the high heavens. Amen. When we come to church and we take no priority in the presence of God moving. Amen. Did you know that some of our churches are so eat up with this nonchalant attitude? Amen. It nauseates me. Amen. They do not care if the Spirit of God moves. They do not care if they have revival, then great. If we don't have it, we'll try again next year. And then we wonder why our children are dropping like flies and going into a Christless eternity without God.
I tell you what my prayer is. Rim the heavens and come down and let the power and Spirit of God move on us until sinners would be broken and see their need to be saved. How is somebody that said amen? Glory to God. Amen. We do everything else sometimes. Amen. But concentrate on trying to have the Spirit. Amen. Have the reins. Come on now. Amen. We do everything else sometimes instead of letting go and letting God have His way. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe that our holiness churches are either going to stand or fall depending upon, amen, the Spirit of God, amen, visiting our sanctuaries. I'm going to tell you, as much as we tried, there is nothing that can compensate for the Spirit of God, amen, which breaks us and causes us to weep and causes us to cry. Amen, there is nothing in this world that can eclipse, amen, the grace and the glory, amen, of a service where the Spirit and power of God begins to move. Amen. I tell you something that I've seen lately. It seems like that right now in this hour, it seems like the church is tempted more now than ever to rely upon other agencies to try to win the lost rather than having all time Holy Ghost revival where the power of God moves. I want you to understand that I believe in outreach. I believe in nursing home services. I believe in street corner meetings. Amen. I believe in evangelizing and passing out tracts. Amen. I believe in prison services. I believe in going to the jailhouse. Amen. But listen. Amen. All of those things are wonderful. Except we've got people. Amen. That really, amen, preach on the street. But really they're there only because they were asked to do it. Hey, come on now. Amen. Some of our preachers only preach in the nursing home because there's no one else. Amen. To do it. Amen. But I'm telling you, if our outreaches had the moving of the Spirit of God, if our street corner meetings and our nursing home services got to the place where the power of God would move, brother, you'd see the rock turn into water. You'd see the sinner weep on the altar. You'd see the hearted want to get saved. You'd see the drunkard want to come to God. But the Spirit is what breaks their heart. We've organized until organization has caused hardness among us. We've made financial appeals until our supporters get nauseated with bitterness. Come on now. And we got to have it to spread the gospel. Yes, we do. We've provided amusements. Amen. Until even some of our youth have become hardened and they turn to other caterers. Amen. To try to, amen, entertain them. Come on now. Amen. I want you to know in some of our churches we have usurped, amen, the Spirit of God. Yes, we have. Where at one time used to have the reign and used to dominate our services. Amen. We've usurped it so much. Amen. Until it's made our church people hard to advise. It's made them hard to pray. It's made it hard for them to come. It's hard to teach them. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, that sinners are not the only ones that are being hardened. But I'm telling you, brother, right in the house of God, we've got saints that say they are saved, but their heart is so hard, they're like a rock. I say, God, we need a move of the power. We need a move of the Spirit that breaks us up. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why that it is so hard for us to reach the hard sinners. Because it's been my experience that I spend most of the revival plowing through hard saints. I spend most of my prayer time praying for somebody that's got so stinking bitter that they won't even come to revival. Amen. Our pastor would like to knock on doors of sinners. Amen. But he's so busy knocking on doors and calling his own laity because he sees that their heart has become hard. I'm telling you something tonight. Amen. That is all across this country. And we've got people sitting in our churches. Amen. That they are hard. And just like the sinner is bitter. Amen. They are bitter. And just like the sinner is hard against God. They are hard. And just like their heart is fallow ground. We've got people sitting on our pews that it's been so long since they have been broken by the power. It's been so long since the Holy Ghost has moved them. I said it's been so long since they run to the altar and said, God, break me. It's been so long since tears have run down their face. I'm telling you, we're living in an hour when we have got hard hearts. Whether you want to admit it tonight or not, there is a blessing in brokenness. Oh, God. I said there is a blessing in brokenness. Amen. It seems like that it's been my experience that we've got people that are sitting in our churches. Oh, God, that because of circumstance and because of things that have come their way. Have you ever seen it, Brother Neil, when they pull themselves into a shell? Because things have happened. Amen. Because it didn't go their way. Amen. Because the uncanny thing happened. Because the unexpected happened. Amen. And they pulled themselves into a shell. You knew there's something wrong. Because their hands wasn't going up no more. You knew there's something wrong. Amen. Because they missed on Wednesday night. Amen. You knew there was something wrong. Because when you asked them to sing, they didn't sing like they did before. Amen. And you watched them as that heart. Amen. Little by little, it pulled in and closed in until the Spirit, amen, would move. And there would be no reaction. There would be no worship. There would be no glory. There'd be no tears. There'd be no desire. Is there anybody in this house? I'm telling you tonight, church, we're living in an hour when we've gotten so hard. Amen. You don't want to admit it tonight, but it's been a long time since the Spirit has broken you. I tell you what, I would deny that God would knock the props right out from under us until we'd weep on the altar and cry like a baby and let God know we're tired of being hard. Would you break me, oh God? I'm going to leave some of these stumps for you to plow. Come on here. How many was at Bristol camp meeting this summer? Was anybody there when Brother Gary Edenfield preached? In that message, he made mention of Moses. He talked about Moses being led by God up to Mount Nebo. You remember, don't you? And the story said, because of your sin and disobedience back there in the wilderness of Zin, before, since you rebelled in the sight of the congregation, God said, you're going to stand on Nebo and you're going to look into Canaan. But he said, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to possess it. You're not going to claim your inheritance there. You're not going to receive your land there. God said, you're going up on Nebo. You're going to get a look into Canaan, but then you're going to die. Oh, come on now. And the Bible said that Moses, amen, went up on top of Mount Nebo. He looked over into Canaan and saw what he could have had, but yet did not possess. Amen. But I want you to know, friend, amen, if anybody, it seemed like, might would have had a right to get a little bit hard and a little bit bitter. Amen. We sin more than once, haven't we? Come on now. We've made more than one mistake, haven't we? Amen. But God said, Moses, because of that one sin, amen, all you're going to get is a look into Canaan. All you're going to receive, amen, is a view of what you could have had. Amen. But the Bible said that Moses died and God buried him in that secret place. Amen. Don't you think that Moses could have got bitter? Don't you think that he battled being hard? Hey, come on now. Don't you think there was night before he took his last breath that he wondered about the judgment of God and wondered if it was balanced and wondered if it was righteous? Oh, come on now. Don't you think there were times in the mortal mind of Moses he wondered, oh God, are you sure? Haven't you made a mistake? Are you really going to make me die? Are you really going to just give me a view and a look and that's all? But the Bible said that Moses died on Nebo. Never one piece of Canaan. Never did he get time, amen, to cross Jordan. Never did he get time, amen, to have his inheritance. But all he got was a view. But I never remember reading that Moses got bitter. I never remember reading that Moses got hard. I never remember reading where God and Moses had it out on Nebo. I never remember reading where Moses tried to get the last word in before he died. I'm fixing to tell you something right here. Everything that you're praying for, you may not get. Every sickness that you've asked God to heal, you may not get healed. Every lost name that you have brought before God, he may not save. I wish somebody tell amen. Every prayer request that you give him, God may not answer that. Oh, but I'm telling you right now, if God don't save, and if God don't heal, or if God don't deliver, one thing you must do is just die. Amen. Just die. Amen. You may never get Canaan. You may never cross Jordan. You may never get what you wanted to get. But in the name of Jesus, don't you get hard. And don't you get bitter. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, friend, you may die on Nebo. That may be all you get. But God is God. And God is holy. And God is pure. Don't you get hard. Don't you get bitter. Don't you get angry with God. Because of Samson's carelessness, because of his wrongdoing, because of his iniquity, God caused him, allowed him to be blinded. God allowed him to go into the prison house, and all he done was grind. You ever looked at anybody that was living holiness, and all of their life they have had problem after problem? You ever looked at anybody that was sanctified, living on the plane of sanctified living, paying their tithes, faithful to the house of God? Amen. Have come out of the world, are living holy before God, but yet every road they take, dead ends. Every decision they make is the wrong one. Come on now. Have you ever looked at anybody and scratched your head and wondered where the sin must be? Wonder where the iniquity must be? Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Amen. Brother Russell, there's some people that it seems like all they get to do is grind. Oh, come on now. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The church by yourself, woman, and watch everybody else's husband. Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said it's not a joyous experience, mother, to watch everybody else's child pray around the altar while yours is living in sin. Here, come on now.
It's not a very joyous experience for you to battle disease and watch somebody else go to a charismatic meeting and their body get healed. Oh, come on now. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, that there's some people, all they do is grind. You hear me? From 1 year to the next, and 1 week to the next, from one revival to the next. It's a struggle. It's a pull. It's a battle. It's a grinding. Oh, come on now. Amen. But I want you to know, even though the man was blind, even though that he had done wrong, even though he was bound and did not have no liberty, the Bible said, howbeit, his hair began to grow, and God visited that man. I'm telling you right now, if you're grinding, don't be hard and don't be bitter. Hallelujah. Don't you get angry at God. Don't you say things that you'll be ashamed of. Don't you make statements, amen, that are foolish. If you're grinding, at least you got God. If you're in prison, at least you got God. Don't be hard.
Lamb of God, I got some preaching to do here. I've seen people through the years, holiness people, at their heart, little by little, got hard. Oh, come on. They didn't understand why all they got to do was look into Canaan and die. They didn't understand before they died how come their children didn't come in. I want you to know, a few months ago, my daddy laid in my arms, Lamb of God, on the floor. Don't you think? I prayed for him all over this country. Flowers came, phone calls came from California. Everybody knew Art Webster. People he didn't even know. And when I held revivals, my little boy would stand in and say, pray for my papa. Oh, but early that morning, my daddy laid in my arms. Lamb of God. I tried resuscitating him. I tried praying. I tried anointing. I begged God. Amen. But he died. He died early that morning. He didn't have a testimony. All he had was an hour. No testimony. I said he didn't have a testimony. But Brother David Taylor called me up and he said, I wish my daddy would have had an hour. I purpose in my heart, I ain't about to get hard. I said, I ain't about to get hard. Oh, no, no, no. If the devil can, he'll cause you to get bitter because you're grinding. If the devil can, he'll cause you to get hard because you died on Nebo. But thank God, God came by and Moses got another mountain. There come a day when he stood by Jesus on Mount Transfiguration and the Lord had given Canaan. I said, in the name of Jesus, don't be hard. Don't be bitter. There'll be another mountain. Because Moses didn't get bitter. Because he didn't get hard. There come a day, centuries later, when he sat down, stuck his foot down in Jerusalem. Amen. Where 100 years, amen, hundreds of years before, he thought he'd never get there. But God, amen, was faithful. Amen. Come on now. Oh, come on now. I'm telling you tonight, church, amen, we've got people that are getting hard. And the Lord told me, amen, it's time for the Spirit to visit us until we are broken. I said, what we need in this hour is a move of God. How is somebody that shout amen? I said, we need the power and the Spirit of the Lord. I say, God, break us. I say, God, break us. I say, God, break us until we weep and cry on the altar of God. You're grinding. Don't you get bitter.
you don't have it marked down in your black book where you've been healed. You may now have it written down where that loved one you're praying for got saved. But in the name of Jesus, don't you get hard. Don't you get hard. Because I guarantee you, if you'll stay faithful to God, there'll come a day when God will visit you again. Amen. And my Bible said, oh, earth trembled. The hills ran away. Amen. The mountains were moved at the Spirit of God. And you tell me that we don't need a revival where the power of God moves. Amen. Come on now. Did you know there are people, Brother Russell, that are absolutely untouchable? I can tell stories and preach messages and call them out and anoint them and pray and call them on the phone. Amen. But the only thing that turns rocks into water is the Spirit of God. I said the only thing that will take somebody bitter and cause them to pray through is the Spirit of God. The only thing that will cause the backslider to be saved is the Spirit of God. I wish I could feel y'all helping me. I want you to know we need a revival of the power, a revival of the Spirit one more time. We call an evangelist and we say, look, I want you to stay a week, 2 weeks if you can. And if God gets in it, I want you to go on. We have camp meetings all summer long. So many we can't hardly print them in the holiness paper. Amen. Oh, we got some of the greatest preachers, amen, that have ever mounted a pulpit. But yet we go back and deal with hard people. Amen. I'm not saying the Spirit's not moving. Amen. But I am telling you tonight, if you don't let the Spirit of God manifest on you, if you don't let the power of God manifest itself on you, you will never get over bitterness. You will never get over hardness. You'll never get over the anger that the devil put in your heart. You'll never get over the hatred. Y'all think I missed it. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, if we can have a move of the Spirit of God, we'll see somebody get help. We'll see somebody, amen, break and cry and weep before God. I say, God, break us. Oh, God, break us. Let the Spirit and power break our hard heart. I hate church trouble. I was 15 years old, going to Messina Holiness Church, Tahlequah, Oklahoma. You don't know where it's at. Most of you have never been there. Maybe Brother Hartman back there may have been there and preached over in Tahlequah. 15 years old, Brother Neil. I sit on the pew, and one night they stood up. They cocked, they aimed, and they shot over here. And this one hadn't been praying for that one. Only thing they'd been praying about is how to retaliate if it happened. Come on. And so they stood up. And they cocked and they aimed. And here we was in turmoil. Here we was. Amen. I remember as 15 years of age, I saw this man in his 30s stand out on a porch, take his belt off, and threaten a woman in her 50s. Said, I'm going to lay you on the ground. And he meant every word until somebody else had to step in. Amen. But what they didn't realize was there was young people in that church house. Amen. That the devil, amen, was talking in their ear. Amen. And I felt my heart, amen, become a little bit crusted over year after year. You see, we had so many pastors, I lost count. Everyone we'd get,
they would dig up something, or they would find something, and they'd pull the purse strings until they starved him to death. Oh, come on now. Amen, amen. I remember going to church one morning, and we got there a little bit early. The pastor walked up, pulled out his keys, stuck it in the lock, and nothing happened. He said, "Honey, did I have the right keys?" He tried again and nothing happened. In just a little while, some cars pulled up. Some people got out. A woman walked up to the door. Just happened to be a woman. Don't take it personal. Come on now. She walked up to the door and stuck her key in, unlocked the bolt. They all went in. They snickered. They laughed. They said, "Ha ha. We started church. Can you imagine what kind of friction?" I'm talking about set on fire out of hell. I said it was set on fire out of hell. Amen. It moved in there. There was differences. There was arguing. There was fussing. The pastor got up that morning. He said, "Since I'm still the pastor today, we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to omit the singing. We're going to omit the prayer. We're going to omit the Sunday school. And I feel like preaching a while." They folded their arms and they snickered and they laughed and they whispered and they had it all planned out. And when he got done preaching, he closed the book and he went back to the door to shake hands. And every one of them had something to say. Some of them stayed in their pew and looked straight ahead and trying to wait out the pastor until he left. Then they was going to congregate, you know, and talk about what a fool he was. And there I stood at 15 years old. I ran out of the house that night. Yes, I did. My cousin, 15 or 16 years old, we ran out on the front porch. I was crying. Because you see, what made it bad was that was my family. And I seen the family circle being severed because of bitterness and hardness. Oh, come on, in anger. Amen. In vice and malice. I ran out on the porch. I began to weep. I looked at my cousin. I said, "I quit." He said, "I quit too." You see, we was at that age where we was fixing to get our license, you know. And we felt real independent. And we was going to do whatever we wanted to do. Amen. You understand? Amen. That it was my mama that was making cry. You understand? It was me and her that drove down the road because my daddy wasn't saved at that time. And it was me and her that would drive down the road. I'd watch my mama cry. Tears run down her face. I remembered the looks they had when they pointed their bony finger in her nose and told her how it's going to be. And it was family. And you're looking at a young boy. And I felt my heart getting hard. I felt bitterness settling in. I felt the ground at one time was plowed and tender. I felt it getting fallow. I had thoughts. I had desires. I had words. And little by little I was getting hard. When we stood out on the porch, Brother Shad, you remember Sister Fritz at our church? She ran out on the porch crying that night. She grabbed me, put her arm around me and my cousin, and she said, "Boys, what's going on in that house is not right. What's going on in that church is not of God." But she said, "Whatever you do, don't get hard and don't get bitter." Well, to make a long story short, we left there and went to Iron Post in Locust Grove, Oklahoma, which is our present home church now. I remember walking in that service that morning. Amen. I remember walking in there. Or maybe it was a Sunday night. I can't really remember. But I remember walking in there. And they weren't arguing. They weren't fussing. They wasn't debating. But you know what was in there? The Spirit. The Holy Ghost was sweeping over that house. Amen. There was a power that was moving over that congregation. And when I walked in the back door, I had no intentions. But the Spirit began to break me. I said, the power began to take this hard heart. I felt it begin to melt. I began to turn into water. I ran down to that altar. And I said, "God, forgive me of hardness. Forgive me of the bitterness. Oh, come on now. I'll tell you what it was. It was the Spirit." Do you think we need it or not? Do you think we need a revival or not? Do you think we need the power of the Holy Ghost? Do you think we need the Lord to turn our hearts into water? What would have happened if we'd have walked in there and everybody been popping their gums and running their mouth, figuring their checkbook? Hey, amen. Have you ever seen so many thirsty people in your life running back and forth through the water? I got to look. My boy's probably out. No, there he is. What would have happened, Brother Shad, that morning? Do you think I'd have got healed of my hardness? Do you think I'd have got help over the bitterness? Amen. But I'm telling you, the Spirit. Is that what my text said? It said it makes the mountains move. It makes the hills run away. You say, brother, I can't get over it. You get the power of God on it, and that mountain will move. I said, you get praying in the Spirit, and that mountain will tremble and fall to the ground. You don't have to be hard. I said, you don't. I wish somebody would help me. I said, you don't have to be hard. There ain't no sense in it. It ain't God's will. It ain't God's plan. He's got the power and the Spirit to break you. One year later, me and my cousin, you remember old Big Joe Cooper from Tulsa, came held us a revival. Me and my cousin that was going to quit laid flat of our back. I had my big hand throwed over his, and the power of God came in that place. I went to speaking in a heavenly language. I got goosebumps big enough to hang a whale bucket on. I felt the power of God settle down on me. I jumped up from there speaking in unknown tongues. Amen, Steve. Amen, took out in a run. Amen, but I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad that I didn't get hard. I said, I'm so glad that I didn't get bitter. I'm telling you right now, amen, I felt a burden. Amen, before I ever got to Mississippi. You tell them if they let me move, if they'll let my power do it, I'll break them until they'll cry. I'll move on them until they'll pray. I'll move on them until they get right. Is there anybody that'd like to be broken? Would you like the Spirit to move on you? Would you like the power to melt your hard heart? It's in our churches. Our evangelists pulling off, taking churches, quitting, taking leaves of absence. Because we're trying to deal with hardness just through our feeble efforts. We try calling them in our office and talking, and that may be of necessity. Amen. And if you get called in the office, don't you get hard. I said, if your pastor makes a special visit to you, don't you get bitter. God help him. Brother Ralph Cox cornered a preacher one time, a young preacher, and he said, son, I'm going to tell you something right now. It'll help you if you'll quit saying Laodicean church and say Laodicean church. He said, you're too good a preacher to go all over the country saying Laodicean. If you say it, don't get hard. But you know what he said, Brother Shad? I could tell, Brother Cox, by the way you write them articles, that you're nothing but a smart aleck. I could tell every paper I read that you're nothing but a know-it-all. But a pastor will lean over and give us some encouragement words. He give us a little advice. Call us to the side and say, I need to talk to you. And we feel something in our heart we know is not right. We feel something rise. We feel a crust come over. And the next time he tries to preach to help us, we ain't got nothing to say good about it. Come on now. Amen. The next time the offering comes, we saw him eat out 3 times last week. So we're going to pinch just a little bit this Sunday. Oh, come on now. It ain't because you need the money. It's because you're hard. It ain't because, amen, of this or that. It's because bitterness, a root of bitterness, I said a root of bitterness, has got in your heart. Is there anybody in this house? I say, oh God, rend the heavens and let your spirit break us. Let the power of the Holy Ghost move until we are broken.
But like I said, hardness of heart is very difficult to deal with. Would you do me a favor? Would you go over and hug his neck? It's as easy as that. I need a father and son. Father and son. Come here, Father. Where's your son? Bring him with you. That's all right. Come here, Brother Shad. This will work. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Would you hug his neck? It's as easy as that. Sister MacDonald in here. Come here, sister. Where'd Brother Elbert go? Come here. Come here, Sister Monica. Just get right over here. Be all right. You've been in her kitchen for years. But there's going to be some day she's going to be in your kitchen. You're going to take your kids some places, buy them some things Grandma may have prayed about. May not necessarily be sin. But don't you get hard. She may call and sometimes be on your side. And sometimes be on your side. But that really ain't what she's wanting. She's wanting everybody to be together. And if mama or mother-in-law, it's as easy as that. Would you hug your mama? It's as easy as that. Is there two brothers in this house? Is there two brothers in this house? You two right there. Y'all that come from here in Alabama. I don't know what your relationship is, but would you come up there and just be brothers? Would y'all just hug necks? It's as easy as that. But we got young people that stood in between the preachers. You hear me? And they saw it when this one shake him. And they saw it when this one wouldn't preach him. I said young people saw that. And young people heard that. And young people felt that. Until the same hardness that they had, it came on them. Come on here. They seen them argue about things.
that didn't mount to hills of beans. But yet they saw the tore down relationships. They saw the severed friendships. They saw the hardness and the bitterness. And as a result, when it springs up, you see, when it's under the ground, nobody knows it but you. But when it breaks the top of the ground, it starts showing. And then thereby many are being defiled. Now come on now. Amen. You tell me that we don't need a revival. I said we need the Spirit and the power to break our hearts. Hallelujah. I don't care what our differences are. I don't care how we disagree. When we get in the Spirit, I said when we get in the Spirit, when we get in the Spirit, it'll break us. We'll love one another. We'll weep. We'll cry. Our hearts will turn to water.
You know what's going to settle this little rift between our preachers? Not a bigger trailer than somebody else. Not a bigger fancier church than somebody else. The Spirit. The Spirit. Amen. We ain't going to settle the end time here. Amen. We're going to live just like it happens. That's all we're going to do. Amen. But in the meantime, I say, God, pour your Spirit out upon all flesh, upon the preacher. Come on now. Amen. Listen, have you ever seen a father and son? When I walked past the casket of my daddy, Brother Aaron Brock throwed his arms around me. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You're looking at the best man in Cherokee County right here. But I said, I got one good report to tell you. Me and my daddy never in my life had one ought. But there's some that ain't never going to embrace unless they let the Spirit. Oh, come on now. Amen. I'm telling you something tonight, church. Amen. This has been on me for a while. Amen. And our people do not see, amen, the necessity of having the Spirit of God. We wonder why our preaching ain't helping. Amen. Our facilities ain't good enough. Our outreaches ain't touching them. The lost is going to hell. We got all these unanswered questions. I say what we need is the Spirit to break us. I said we need the power to break our hearts. Until we turn into water! This right here, get right in between them. This has been the blame of a lot of divorces. That little relationship right there has been the blame for a lot of separation. But I'm telling you right now, if the Spirit is on this man, and the Spirit is on this woman, she ain't got nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Randall Mohisa da da da. Lamb of God. I'm telling you, husband, and I'm telling you, wife, you better pray until you get to the Spirit and let the power of the Holy Ghost turn your heart to water. Is there anybody in this house that'll say, rend the heavens, God, and come down? We're needing a move of the power of God. The Bible said the Spirit is what turns the rock. Brother Charles Barnett, amen. He got up in our minister's meeting in Oklahoma a few nights ago, and he said, I came to church. You're a pastor, ain't you, brother? Still pastoring? He said, I came to church, and my church wasn't getting in. He said, I got me a text and I got me a message. And he said, I came to church with no intentions but busting their ever-loving hide for the way they had not prayed, the way they had not worshipped, the way they had not been faithful. But he said, when I got there, the Spirit